I was going to be late, and it's a little early, but we can start. So does anyone have a song they want to sing? Let's try to pick from the back, just because that's where the children's songs are. So if it's not something that starts with 40, you picked the wrong one. Anyone have one they want to sing? Raise your hand, I guess. Adelaide? 46. All right. Glad, T-I-D-I-N-G-S. Glad,
T-I-D-I-N-G-S.
Check with some parents is to give some candy for people who answer questions. Is that okay, everyone? We'll try to keep it not too much candy, but so I have some candies for people who answer questions. So if you guys know the answer, raise your hand when I ask questions, and I can give you some candy. But if no one raises their hand up here, I got to ask adults.
Uh oh.
So all right, who has another one we could sing? Lincoln. 44. Okay. Could someone start that, please? 44.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me.
Story repeat o'er and o'er till none
Okay. So, the subject I want to talk about, something important. Actually, before we talk about it, what's really nice about just a few kids is that I think I know everyone's name here. So let me try it. See if I can go through them. So we have Evelyn, Adelaide, Rosalie, Lincoln, Isaac, and Joanna. Is that right? Did I get them all right? All right. So that's easy, so I can say your name and I know who you are. So, okay. The subject I want to talk about is I want to talk about the most powerful man in the world. Does anyone who's not my kid know who that could be? So it depends on what time you're talking about, what time period. But the most powerful man in the world at the time I'm thinking of was a man named Nebuchadnezzar. And he was so powerful, pretty much whatever he said happened. Can you imagine being so powerful that if you say, I want this to happen, it just immediately happens. Otherwise, the person who didn't do it gets killed. That's the kind of power he had. So I want to talk about Nebuchadnezzar, and that's in the book of Daniel. We've already been looking in the book of Daniel this conference. So I want to look in the book of Daniel. So I mentioned I have candy. If we have some questions and people answer the questions, I hope these look good. Never had these before. I also hope I can open them. If not, someone else can open them. All right, so while he's opening those, I also have some other things in here I want to show you guys. And actually, a little activity I think most of you guys will like. And we'll do this activity two times, although it only happens one time in the Bible. Okay, thanks, Jonathan. So, I want to talk about Nebuchadnezzar, but first I want to read a verse. So I said he was the most powerful man in the world, right? But where did that power come from? How did he get to be so powerful? And there's a verse I want to read in Jeremiah chapter 27. Jeremiah 27, verse 4. Starting partway into the verse. If you know the Bible, you can just listen, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. So, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." So, God is speaking. "Thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. All nations shall serve him, and his son and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him." So, in Jeremiah, it was prophesied. God said he's going to give Nebuchadnezzar power. So, where did this power come from? Joanna, do you know? God? Excellent. Very good. That's right. You want to pick one? Or should I just give you one? Want to pick one? All right, so that's right. God gave him his power. So you know what's interesting? Nebuchadnezzar forgot about that. And maybe he never really believed that God gave him his power. And he had to learn that. And we're going to learn the story of how Nebuchadnezzar learned that. I'm probably running out of time. So the first place we want to look is Daniel chapter 2. That's the chapter I want to start with. And I may have to kind of just tell you the story for some of this so we can get through it. But in Daniel chapter 2, we have the start of the story that I want to go over. So we probably all know the story of Daniel, that Daniel was a faithful man, and We know his friends too, and they were brought into the land of Egypt, or the land of Babylon. Now, how did they get there? Babylon came and they destroyed the temple, and they took all of the gold vessels out of the temple, and they took the king. They captured the king of Babylon or of Judah, and they took all of them out, and they brought captives into their own land. And so here Daniel was, and he was stuck in Babylon. It was not his homeland. And we know things like, remember, he prayed toward Jerusalem. He wanted to be back there. And actually, we know from other scriptures that God said if they would look toward that land and they prayed to God, there could be blessing. So he was looking for that. But there's some things that had to happen. So this first thing that happens, we know, is that Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And for these heathens and for people who didn't have the word of God, this was one of the ways that God would speak to people, was through dreams. So Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and I want to read that dream to you. So just the backstory, so we can just read the part about the dream. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Someone tell me the dream. All my wise men, tell me the dream. And tell me what it is, and then tell me what it means." And of course they couldn't do it, but God gave Daniel the ability to tell him what the dream was, and what it meant. And so I just want to skip to the part where Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar the dream here. So it's Daniel chapter 2. We'll start with verse 31. "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold," like this, fine gold, "and his breast and arms were of silver," like this, "and his belly and his thighs were of brass," I think it's really copper, "and his legs of iron, and his feet," down there at the bottom, it says, "part of iron and part of clay." And it says, "Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were iron and clay, and break them in pieces." So this is what Daniel sees. He sees this image. And I think image actually refers to like a statuesque idol. I think that's what it is, but if it's not, somebody can correct me after. But he saw an image. And I don't think it was this small, like I'm showing you here. I don't think it was this small. I think it was a lot bigger. I think it was big. And I'll tell you why in the next chapter. But the image looked like that. You could see the different materials, different colors. So what does that image mean? Well, Daniel explains. I'll explain. He says, let's see, he says, "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king." And this is verse 36. "Thou, O king, art a king of kings." What does that mean? A king who's in charge of other kings. That means you're really powerful. "For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory." So Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, God gave you that power. Nebuchadnezzar needed to remember that, and we'll see if he does. "And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." So Nebuchadnezzar, this is you, the head of gold. Now, if you look at all those metals, what is the most expensive? If you wanted to buy something using metal, what would be the best metal? Lincoln?
Gold.
Gold is correct. So gold is the answer. Gold is very valuable. So if we look next, we see the silver. What does he say? He says, "After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, not as strong as you, Nebuchadnezzar, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. So, if you took clay, which is like sticky dirt, and hot metal, hot iron, and you try to mix them together, and then let them cool, and made it into a shape, what would happen? Adelaide?
They don't mix.
They do not mix. What happens? Instead, there would be cracks between them, and it wouldn't be very strong. So would you want to have a big, tall thing where the bottom is a mixture of two things that don't mix? Ooh, that wouldn't be a good thing to have. But he says, whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, and there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were a part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as the iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, and the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So, really quickly, I want to explain that this head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar. And like Mr. Stewart was saying yesterday, the next kingdom after that was the Medo-Persian Empire, which is this silver color. And then below that was the copper, which was the Grecian Empire. Below that was the iron, which is the Roman Empire. And then the last part, iron mixed with clay, is a revival of the Roman Empire. So God was telling Nebuchadnezzar and us, the Word of God, the things that were going to happen, the kingdoms that were going to come. What's important for Nebuchadnezzar to understand? It's not all gold. What's going to happen? That means eventually Nebuchadnezzar is going to be done. But he's the most expensive. Silver is not quite as expensive, and copper is a little cheaper. And so the value of the metal is less and less. And that speaks to us of the fact that as the kingdoms went on, the leader had less and less power. Remember Darius? He made a rule, and he wished he could change it. Does anyone remember what that rule was that he made? We didn't read about it, but Rosie? Yes, and if they prayed, what happened? The den of lions. So remember how he wished he could change that? Guess what? He wasn't powerful enough to change that rule. Because he was down here. He wasn't the head of gold. Nebuchadnezzar could change whatever he wanted. So I hope I'm not taking too much time here. So the stone came and smashed the statue. Anyone want to try smashing the statue? Anyone who's not my kid want to try? No? Joanna, you want to try? All right. Lincoln, we'll go with you first here. So stand back there. You got to stand back there. So imagine back further, right over there. It's got to be a little challenge. Okay, and then try to roll it and hit the statue. Boom, look at that. So that's what happened. Imagine that dream. Now, it says a great image. So I think much bigger than that in his dream. And it got smashed. And what does this stone represent? Who is this stone that smashed the image? Evelyn? The Lord Jesus. In the coming day, the Lord Jesus is going to smash the remaining kingdom that's in this world. And he is going to set up his own. And it says it's like a mountain that fills the whole earth. And he is going to reign. And no more these men who are powerful, but not that powerful. Not like the stone that's smashed. So that's this first dream, okay? So what does Nebuchadnezzar say? Here's, your kingdom's going to be over. God gave you this power. There's a bigger power coming that's going to destroy all the powers on the earth. What does Daniel say? Does he say, I better praise God then? No, he doesn't. He says, then Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshipped Daniel. So he worshipped the person who told him what was going to happen. He wasn't worshipping God. He still, in his heart, thought that he was higher or more powerful than God. He still had that pride in him. And he had to learn still. And he commanded that there should be an oblation offering of sweet odors to Daniel. He treated Daniel really well. He gave him gifts. And so Daniel, of course, uses that to get his friends to be in a better position in the kingdom, which was wise of him to do that. But this is all Nebuchadnezzar did was just worship Daniel. So let's see, what's the next chapter? Chapter 3 is an interesting one. Nebuchadnezzar, it says, the king, made an image of gold. Where do you think he got that idea from? Adelaide?
The statue.
I think he thought, that was a pretty nice statue. I should make one of those. Now, let's see how big it was. It says it was 60 cubits, so 60 cubits. Anyone know what a cubit is? Lincoln? No, that's a cube. Close. Anyone know what a cubit is? How big it is? It's a little more than a foot, as far as I know. So some quick math would say that, you can still have one even if you answer wrong. So a quick math says that this statue was 90 feet tall. So you guys might be thinking 90 feet, I mean that's like, I don't know how tall that is. I don't even know what feet are because I live in Canada. So I'll show you a picture to get an idea of how big that image was. So see that? That's what a person would be like, and that's what the statue. Can you imagine this image? I think it was of a person, but I don't really know. I'm thinking it was probably like the one he saw in his dream. Can you imagine seeing a statue that big? It was covered in gold. So you know how much money that would have cost today? So much money. And he built this huge statue. And what do you think he did with it? Something good or something bad? Probably an adult. Actually, that's a 10-foot tall adult, which is not normal. So the person would be even smaller than that. I did some quick measurements there. So what does it say he did? It says, what's up, Lincoln? It was for bad, that's correct. Are you fishing for another? I think so. Alright, so what does it say he did? It says he gathered, verse 2, the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of all the provinces. Remember, he is a huge kingdom, and he gets them all together to come to the dedication. So he's going to have a party for this big image he made. Let's have a big celebration. And it says that then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image. They're all at this big party. And Nebuchadnezzar, for the dedication of that image that he had set up, and they stood before the image that he had set up, and a herald cried. A herald is a person like an announcer. So like your dad makes the announcements after meeting. Someone who could talk loud enough for everyone to hear. And he announced and he said, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music. So when you hear music, you fall down and you worship that golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. So he said, I want everyone, you're all going to worship this at the same time. What a sad thing. He had just heard how God was the one who gave him the power and God was going to destroy all the kingdoms. And what does he do? He uses that idea to make a huge image and he tells everyone to worship it. He's making other people sin. Isn't that sad? So that was not a good thing. Well, I think we know the story. Does anyone know what Daniel's friends do when this happens? Isaac, do you know? Joanna, how about you? Any idea what Daniel's friends do? Do you think they say just, okay, let's go ahead, we'll... No, what do? They say no, right? They say, we're not going to do it. So, I'll read that. So, it says... Verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near. What time does this end? 15. Okay. It says, certain of the Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, and they spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of all the music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, he shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's Daniel's friends, that we said that Daniel helped them get to be have some power in the kingdom. And they have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So they told on. They said, hey, those three guys, they're not doing it. Now, it's interesting. They didn't say anything about Daniel. I'm not sure. Maybe others have thoughts on why. Why they didn't tell on Daniel, maybe they didn't see him or whatever, or he was too high up for that. But Daniel's friends didn't obey Nebuchadnezzar. So what do you think he did? Rosalie, what do you think he did? Yes, they didn't bow. That's correct. But what do you think Nebuchadnezzar is going to do? Adelaide? Well, that's what he said he was going to do. But let's see how he reacts. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury, he was so mad. How dare someone not listen to him? He is the great, the most powerful man in the world. You better listen to me. But here were some people who were not listening. That was strange for him. Everyone obeyed him. But now suddenly someone's not obeying him. Well, we know from Acts, right, the book of Acts, Peter says we ought to obey God rather than men. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we are not going to obey him because God doesn't want us to bow down and worship this image. So we're not going to listen. Well, he is mad. And he commanded to bring those three, and they brought these men before the king. And the king spake and said unto them, verse 14, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? So Nebuchadnezzar says, give you another chance. That music goes. You bow down, great. If you don't, you're going into the furnace. And then he says, who is that God that will deliver you? He still thought he was more powerful than God, that no God could deliver them out of his hand. When he sent into the furnace, they were going. So he thinks he's more powerful. Well, they answered in verse 16 and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So these three men said, we know our God is more powerful, and he can deliver us. Maybe he won't. Maybe he doesn't want to, but if he does, even no matter what, we're not going to serve you. That was some real faith on their part, wasn't it, to say that? Well, we know the story. It says Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, he commands that they heat the furnace 7 times hotter, throw on a lot more wood or whatever it is that they were using to heat it. And do we know what happens? He throws them in the furnace, and what happens? What does he see? Adelaide. That's right. And we know that was God that was there to protect them, wasn't it? So they were preserved. So much so that there was not even a smell of smoke on their clothes. You know, if your dad is putting wood on a fire, I don't know if you guys heat with wood, but you're going to smell a little bit like smoke, which sometimes is a nice smell. These ones didn't even smell like that. That's how protected they were. What, Lincoln?
And also, they didn't even have a spark on
them. That's right. Not even a spark. Yep. So, they were preserved, weren't they? How amazing was that? So, that's the third chapter. And what happens? What does Nebuchadnezzar say? He just saw that they got protected. Now, what does he say? Verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, did he say, God is the true God, he's more powerful than me. I was wrong, I shouldn't have done what I did. No, he says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss. Anyone who says anything bad about their God, what? Shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, and there shall be no other God, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. So he says, anyone who says anything bad about their God, they're getting chopped up. But, and he also says, no one else could do that, no other God. But he still doesn't recognize that God is more powerful than him. Changed the king's word, but it's not the same. And he didn't recognize that he was wrong and he was prideful. So God has more work to do with him. So let's see what happens in the next chapter. So the next chapter, we have a story of this. This huge tree. Now, I tried to draw this tree the way it says. So let's read what it says about this tree. So Nebuchadnezzar has another dream, okay? And it says, this chapter kind of seems like is something he wrote. I haven't studied too much on exactly how that works, but he says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house, flourishing in my palace, and I saw a dream which made me afraid. You ever had a dream that made you afraid? Yeah? Well, sometimes we call that what's a scary dream sometimes called?
Nightmare.
Nightmare? Yes, correct. So you have a nightmare, and it's scary, and you wake up, and you go, oh, I'm so glad that was just a dream. Well, Nebuchadnezzar knows God talks to him in dreams, so when he woke up, he was still afraid. And he said, therefore, it says, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore I made a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. So then we know that Daniel comes, and this time Nebuchadnezzar tells him the dream. He says, thus, verse 10, thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven. So I tried to show it touching the clouds. That's a tall tree. You ever seen a tree that touches clouds? I don't think trees get that high. Maybe if there's like low fog or something. But a tree that tall, that would be amazing to see. So this tree was touching the heavens, and that might even be higher than the clouds, I don't know. But it says, the sight thereof was to the end of all the earth. So from it you could see the whole earth. And the leaves thereof were fair. I didn't draw any leaves here, but actual leaves. The fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. And the beasts of the field had a shadow under it, so the sun wouldn't be bothering them. They could just hang out underneath the tree. And the fowls of the heaven, the birds, lived in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed from it. So all of these animals got their food from that. And I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, behold, a watcher And the Holy One came down from heaven and cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, cut it down, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. And let his heart be changed from the man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let 7 times, or 7 years, pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. So Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. He saw this tree, and it was commanded that this tree fed all the animals. The whole earth was nourished by this tree. And then, boom, cut it down and wrap this band around that stump and leave it that way. And it talks about the heart being changed. Well, this is a confusing dream. There's a tree, but then it's talking about giving it a heart. It already has a man's heart, but giving it a beast's heart. And Nebuchadnezzar could not understand this, and he wanted Daniel to tell him. What does this mean? So what did Daniel say? Well, of course, he told him the dream, but the first thing he said, Nebuchadnezzar said to Daniel, let not the dream or the interpretation trouble you. If it's bad news, still tell me. Don't be bothered to tell me. What does Daniel say about this dream? He says, the dream be to them that hate thee. The people who hate you, Nebuchadnezzar, will love this dream. That's not good. If the people who hate you love this dream, it's not good for you. And he says, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. Your enemies will love hearing what this means. So he says, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, etc., it is thou, O king, who art grown, become strong. So this great tree represents Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man in the earth. That's not good, because something's going to happen to that most powerful man. Well, it says, and whereas the king saw the watcher and the holy one coming down from heaven and saying to cut it down, and it says, this is the interpretation, O king. Verse 25, they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times or years shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So, Daniel says, this is you. And this is going to be you. You're going to be kicked out of your kingdom, and you are going to have to go live with the animals. And we read about how a heart, he was going to be given a beast's heart and all these things. Oh, this was pretty scary. If I was Nebuchadnezzar, I would say, oh boy. And then he says, whereas the stump, they commanded the stump should be left, thy kingdom, your kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar, shall be sure unto thee. It's going to stay there. And it says, after that, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. He says, you get your kingdom back when you learn that God is in charge and not you. So, what does Nebuchadnezzar say to this? Anyone know? What does Nebuchadnezzar say? Lincoln? All right, I'll read what he says. Well, he hears the message. Okay. Daniel's last word to Nebuchadnezzar is this. O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Because you want to escape this problem and have this not happen and have peace? Stop doing bad things. And he was proud, and he was acting wickedly and doing whatever he wanted. And Daniel says, if you stop doing that, you could be preserved from this. Well, what does Nebuchadnezzar do? Well, it says, Nebuchadnezzar, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. So he's in his palace. He's probably looking over the city where he's at. And he says something very interesting. He says, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" He says, "Look at this wonderful place that I built with my own power." He had not learned yet that God was in control. Well, what happens next? What Daniel said would happen. It says he got driven out of the city, out of the kingdom. He became like an animal. It says that he grew claws like birds' claws. His hair got long and became like eagle's feathers. And he had an animal's heart. Now, here's something interesting. See these animals? If they want to get food, see, they're looking down. Animals always look toward the earth for their sustenance. Do they ever look up at God and ask God for anything? No. Animals just stay looking at the ground. That's what they're doing there, aren't they? Well, now Nebuchadnezzar is doing that. He's like one of them. And he's looking down at the ground, eating grass. 7 years pass. And then what happens? At the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. So, the end of these 7 years of living like an animal, would you guys like to live like an animal in the grass? You get all soaking wet, you have no shelter, so your hair would have to be like a protection for you. It would not be fun, would it? Well, after all that time, he looks up to heaven and he recognizes that God is in control, that God's in charge. He finally learned the lesson that even though he was this head of gold, even though he was that head of gold, God was more powerful than him. And that God was the God of the heavens, over everything, over all the earth. And he recognized his power. And all the inhabitants of the earth, he says, are reputed as nothing. Everyone on the earth is nothing compared to God. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" You know how offended Nebuchadnezzar was when he was questioned by those three men? They said, "We're not going to do what you say. How dare you?" Well, now he's recognizing that no one can say to God, "What are you doing?" And no, that's something that we need to learn. There's a man named Job in the Bible that learned that too. That we don't, none of us can say, "Why are you doing, God, what you're doing?" He is far above us. And it is not our right to question him. Well, it says, "At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom and mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me." Suddenly he gets his whole kingdom back. It's like he was never gone. But he's a changed man, isn't he? "And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." So, the final lesson he learned was the people who walk in pride. What is pride? What's that? Badness. Yes, it is. Pride is thinking of yourself as great, isn't it? Yeah. So, it's thinking of yourself as great, isn't it? And he thought he was the greatest. And he walked in pride, and now he realizes, no matter who you are, even the most powerful man in the world, God can put you low if you walk in pride. So it's a good lesson for us, too. Sometimes we can be prideful about little things. You know, that maybe we have a really nice toy that no one else has, or maybe You know, we know how to do something no one else knows how to do. And we do that. We act in that way. We think that we're special and better because of what we have. We have to recognize that we're nothing compared to God. And it says, pride cometh before destruction, it says in Proverbs. So he learned that lesson, and he praised God. And we ought to learn that lesson too, that God can do whatever he wants. When we, as we get older, we see things happen, we know God's in charge, and we may start to think, why would he allow that? We aren't to question his motive for doing that. We know from Scripture why he allows things to us, but we ought never to be like Job was and to question him as if he's not righteous in doing it, because Nebuchadnezzar found out that no one can question that. He is righteous, and he'll do what he wants. So that's pretty much it. I guess we don't have time for the verse. Sorry about that if you guys learned that. Maybe we could just sing one song if someone has one, and we'll pray. Lincoln? Wait, did you already do one? Yeah, you did one. But someone else who didn't do one yet. Anyone have one? What's that? 42? All right. 42. A little child of seven or even three or four may enter into heaven through Christ the open door. For when the heart believeth on Christ the Son of God, is then the soul receiveth salvation through his blood. Well, one thing before we pray. If we aren't saved, then we're not going to be able to walk in the way that God wants. If we have pride in our hearts and we're not saved, there is no way we can fight against that, because we need to be cleansed. We need to be given the Holy Spirit so that we have the power to walk in the right way. And so if we're not saved, we just sang about that. Christ the open door. If we're not saved, we need to ask him to wash our sins away so that we can have the power to do that.